Sisters and brothers, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the Disney remake of The Lion King, there's a conversation that Simba, the lion cub, has with a meerkat and a warthog named Timon and Pumbaa, where a clash of worldviews happens. Simba was taught and believed in a worldview captured by the classic Disney song, The Circle of Life. For Simba, this worldview understands everything being connected through a cycle, where everyone plays their part. When he refers to this circle worldview, he's quickly corrected by his new acquaintances. They tell him, life is no circle, it's a line. It's a meaningless line of indifference. We're all just running towards the end of that line, and then one day we'll reach the end, and that will be it. This worldview gives Timon and Pumbaa permission to live their carefree lifestyle with little thought of how it might affect others. Or as Timon puts it, you can really just kind of do your own thing and fend for yourself. This worldview is captured in the other classic Disney song, Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, one of my all-time favorites. So I didn't know this as a kid watching the movie, but you really have two different worldviews going on here. Is life a circle or a straight line? Well, both of these views were going on in the ancient world whenever the author of Genesis wrote the creation story. Other than Israel, there was no direct revelation from God. So people formulated their own views based on observing nature. The most common of that time was more similar to the circle of life worldview. They noticed everything seemed to work in cycles. For example, the sun rose and set and rose again. Same for the moon and the stars. Seasons were predictable, and even fertility cycles informed their worldview. As a result, life was just an endless cycle without meaning. Like the Lion King, there was no escaping the cycle. If you were born king, then you were at the top of the food chain. If you were born into slavery, then that was your identity, and there was no changing it. Polytheism, the belief in many gods, was also popular during this time. And if people did see life as a line, it was still an endless, repetitive, unbreakable cycle, because these gods were separate and disconnected. So both views lead to a nihilistic, bottomless pit where there is no hope. The author of Genesis, however, gives us another worldview. The creation story begins with God creating the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and the Word of God shining forth life and love into the world. Yes, we have the beautiful and glorious triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, right here at the beginning of the Bible. And the triune God is not arbitrary in his creating, nor does he stand opposed to it. He's not against his own creation, but actively involved in it. And God creates with purpose in mind. And that purpose is to share in relationship, to share in delight and joy. Notice how every day of creation has a purpose and is intentionally woven all the way through. Day and night, for example, separating the light from the darkness, and then separating the waters from the waters to create sky and sea, the land and the nature to produce vegetation and to bear fruit, the sun, moon, and stars to participate in the light and the seasons of the year, animals in the air, the water, and on land also have a purpose, to be fruitful and to multiply. God declares all this as good, and it culminates in the pronouncement of very good with the creation of humans as male and female. This story is anything but a natural cycle or a meaningless line of indifference, but one that is defined by God. Instead of a meaningless blob of matter, God has made distinctions in his creation where relationships exist. Without these distinctions, there would be no relationship and no meaning. God is recorded in this story as intentionally bringing order and structure out of chaos. He is forming and filling his creation for fruitfulness. So in one way, Timon and Pumbaa are right. to picture life as a line instead of a circle. The only difference is that this line is going somewhere. All of creation is going somewhere. Like any good author of any good book, God creates with the end in mind. And what is the end? Where is this line going? Genesis chapter 2, our text today, gives us a shadow. In verses 1 and 2 it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." About a month ago, I shared the creation story at our Higher Ground Wednesday night youth group, and I used the Godly Play curriculum. Godly Play has 7 blocks in the story to represent each day of creation, and each block has a picture to give a visual for kids. But then we got to the seventh day, and I brought out an empty block. It was blank, signifying that God rested. Why in the world did God rest? Did God need to rest? Was he tired? Was God giving us a legalistic rule or setting an example? Or does this day point to a greater reality? Remember, God has a purpose in everything that he does. He's not just doing nothing on this day. What is his purpose here? Well, I think the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians gives us a window straight in. He says in chapter 2, verse 17, "The Sabbath was a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The last Godly Play material in the creation story is a cross. We take out a cross and we lay it on the empty seventh-day block, signifying that the Lord of the Sabbath has come and the reality has replaced the shadow. The Sabbath day points us to the cross. Christ crucified and risen is both the starting point and the completion of all of creation. The very center of time and eternity, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's the place where God pulls back the curtain. The creator becomes a part of his creation. The author and the director of the play become a part of the play. When we see the cross, we are witnessing evil, the darkness and chaos of non-being, doing the very worst it can do to God, even to the point of crucifying Christ. But at the same time, the cross and resurrection is the very undoing of all evil, chaos, and darkness. It's the very moment of Christ creating the heavens and the earth, and the moment of humankind being made in the image of God, to be like God. The cross is the place where God enters into our broken humanity to make us whole by lifting us up into communion with him. So if we want to know what the creation of the world looks like, we need to look to the cross, to Christ crucified and risen. If we want to know what the completion of the world and what the end of all evil looks like, we look to Christ crucified and risen. It's all accomplished there. For the incarnation of Christ is the union of eternity with time. Everything in time, both forward and backward, is worked out from the cross. The cross means that we no longer have to understand time as never-ending cycles or a meaningless line of indifference, because our eternal Lord Jesus Christ has united himself with time. Now we can see the completion of all time and the unveiling of history right there at the cross in Christ crucified and risen. I always love the lyric to that classic hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." It says, "Who every grief has known that wrings the human breast, and takes and bears them for his own, so that all in him may rest." This is the end of the line in God's creation. This is where all of creation is headed. The blessing of rest in God's presence, where there is blessing and wholeness. The Sabbath is the appointed place where God's presence fills the earth and brings forth fruit, very good fruit. We see this image in the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, where there is an unveiling, another pulling away the curtain. And we see and we worship the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, seated upon the throne, making all things new. And we behold everything, the passing away of darkness and evil, and the shining of the light of Christ, who is the true light that gives light to everyone in the world. The Sabbath, the end of the line, shows that the Father did not send Jesus to restore Eden. Eden was just the beginning. The Father sent His Son to restore us, giving us a place of rest, blessing, and wholeness in His own Son, where there is hunger and thirst no more, and abundant life forevermore. So during this Lent season, let us be reminded of the beginning and the end of the line, that no matter how bad things get, or how unjust the world gets around us, that despite all the violence and chaos that we see and experience, it's not the end of the story. God is at work in creation, and His creation will be made new in Christ. Just as the Lord God shaped the earth out of nothing and brought chaotic waters into order, so too at the cross, Jesus pulls us through the waters of baptism to bring us from death to life. The beginning and the end, all fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Sabbath rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.
Amen.